This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Welcome to Baseball Outside the Box, your educational podcast for coaches, players, and parents all over the world, where we bring you the most innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds who love the challenge of status quo. Hello, everybody around the world. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. It is great to have you this evening. It is an evening here in the beautiful country of Cuba. We are in Havana. Yes. First of all, we want to wish all our listeners, our guests, our new guest on the show, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Hope you had a great one. And believe it or not, it is New Year's Eve. And we are excited because we are in Havana competing with a group of great young men, 15 and under, in the Havana area. It is an exciting time, and we're going to be celebrating New Year's Eve on the show here tonight. We have some great, great guests for you, not only the head coach of the team, a great friend of mine, but also some of the players will be on the show. We're going to be talking about Cuban baseball. We're going to talk about a lot of things about the sport in general, about development. So you know what the show's about. I want to thank everybody for being on the show, listening. And don't forget, go to our social media. Baseball Outside the Box is our website. And check it out. Our website has a lot of great information. You guys have been great. You spread social media all over the place. Got to thank the lineupmediagroup.com. We have our director on the other side of the window, Brian Kroc. He's done a great job pretty much producing the show for us. And don't forget our Twitter at Baseball Out. And we are also on Facebook, Facebook.com. You can go to Facebook and check it out. Don't forget. And last thing, email me. We love getting your emails, love getting your questions. Please make sure your email will get back to you as soon as possible. So let's get rolling here in Havana, Cuba, one of the best baseball countries in the world. You know they've competed internationally and have done well for many years. They've got a lot of great guys in the big leagues. What a great country to be in, especially to be able to compete against some of the best players in the world. So we're excited about the show. Let's get it rolling. Again, I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. And let me tell you first about our first guest who's going to be in the majority of the show. He's been a great friend of mine for a lot of years, been coaching baseball for over 40 years, and he's also an educator, a top teacher in Colorado Springs. But more than that, he is an outstanding baseball coach. He has been all over the world. If you think I've been around the world, he has been everywhere, coaching the game, spreading the word, working with coaches, helping develop the sport. He was with an envoy coach with Major League Baseball. He is the ABCA Hall of Fame. That is a unique, unique selection. As you know, there's not many guys in the ABCA Hall of Fame, and it's a very special honor for him to be in that. We're thrilled to have him as one of the coaches. He's also the third base coach for the World Baseball Classic Great Britain team in New York. So let me introduce first to you and welcome my good friend and the coach with the team, with Team America here, Bill Percy. Bill, welcome on the show, man.
Thank you, Pete. It's great to be here. It's a great week, and we're loving the weather. It's a great baseball time.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been awesome. I know I'm from Chicago, and right now in Chicago, sorry, Chicago folks, I know it's like 20 below there, but right here it's 75 and beautiful, and we've had some great games and enjoying the weather, enjoying being around the Cuban people. First of all, Bill, I know you've been all over the world, but tell us a little bit about your experience here in Cuba the last 5 days, kind of give our audience around the world a little background.
Okay, well, we've been here 5 days. I think we got in here on Wednesday and so forth with our group of guys, and we've been playing a game every day. Haven't really had any time to practice. We just met the kids when we got here, and it's just been a wonderful experience. We're playing games against a local team, probably 20, 25 Cuban kids, roughly the same age. And, getting to know our kids, that are from all around the United States and so forth. And the experience has been wonderful. It's been a great goodwill ambassador type trip and been a lot of fun.
You know, one of the things I love about these trips is that, you know, the kids don't know each other. And sometimes, you know, and folks know because we've talked about it on the show, you know, Caliendo Sports travels all over the world, not just in baseball and other sports, to promote the game and also to give young men and women a chance to experience the culture and the sports of another country. One of the things I love about it is that, you know, we'd love to be able to practice, but a lot of times we can't. You know, a lot of it's financially, you know, now it just adds on a lot more money to the program at times. But give me an idea of what you thought, you know, some of the young men, you know, how they came together. Was that, you know, that was it unique?
Well, you know, as far as our guys are concerned, you know, not a lot of them know each other. Maybe a couple do here or there and so forth. And you could just tell the first came out, you know, maybe some growing pains and so forth. And as they get comfortable with themselves, with playing in different conditions and different fields, you know, as they got through the week, through the 3 or 4 days and so forth, they struggled at times, but we just saw them improve during the week. And as they got comfortable playing the game and seeing that the competition that they were playing against was good, was challenging, you know, they accepted the challenge, and we actually won a game today. It was very exciting. We won it in walk-off fashion, too.
Absolutely. Bases loaded, down one. Based it up the middle, scored two for the winning run. Outstanding. And that was Charlie. Charlie scored. Actually, Charlie got the game-winning hit. But some other things happened prior to that.
We got down early in the game. Actually, it was a 2-2 game for about 4 or 5 innings. And we had one rough inning there where we allowed the opposition to get ahead of us by probably 5 runs or so. And we just clawed our way back. Wound up tying the ball game. I think they got ahead by a run, and then again we scored the 2 runs. Yes, we had a little help from a couple Cuban players that were playing for us and pitching a few innings for us and so forth, but it was really cool to see how we won the game. It was really interesting because we had second and third, and then they walked the Cuban kid to load the bases, and up came Charlie, one of our American kids, and he hits the game-winning hit. It was really neat.
And if you're wondering, folks in Chicago, that is Charlie Camille. He goes to York High School, first baseman pitcher, did a great job also pitching. You know, a lot of times when you see the young men here, you know, you see the Cuban players, and Latin Americans especially, you know, they don't exactly have the best fields to play on, but you also see a lot of great infielders come out of Latin America. Tell us a little bit about the infield here and some of the adjustments our guys had to make.
Well, when you talk about a lot of the fields that these kids play on, and I'm sure we know it's the same in the Dominican. We've been to the Dominican a few times and so forth. This is my first trip to Cuba. But you know, basically the fields are very similar. These kids are playing in conditions where, you know, the field conditions are not the greatest. And I think they're forced at young ages to develop some good, you know, hand-eye coordination, some good soft hands, some good quick hands as well, transfers and all of that. And I think when they grow up playing this game at this age under these conditions, they get into a comfort zone and they can feel ground balls pretty readily, pretty easily. And of course, after that, they make the plays, they make the throws and so forth. So I think their confidence is gained at a very young age. They're very confident kids, these Cuban kids that we play.
Bill, now after 5 days here, you know, obviously we've played some games. You've got a chance to, matter of fact, you got a chance to sit down with some of the Cuban coaches, you know, try to work on your Spanish a little bit and talk to them about, you know, baseball in Cuba, some of the things they do. You saw players play. Give us some background on what you picked up from some of the Cuban coaches and players.
Well, you know, first of all, the game really doesn't change. The game's an international game and they play the game very well. We'd like to think that we play the game well too. You know, they have some advantages in some sense or some resorts that we don't have. But the one thing I notice is the coaches and the players are very much into the game. They're very passionate about the game, especially the players. They come to the ballpark wanting to play, ready to play. They appreciate the game, and they seem to be involved in the game mentally as well, even better than the American kids are in many respects.
Now, folks, we're going to get back with ABCA Hall of Famer and also the World Baseball Classic third base coach with the Great Britain team. We will be back with Bill Percy. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to bring in one of the players We had many in today's game who did a great job. Had, you know, there's different key hits, pitching, defense, all kinds of stuff that happened today at the game. But we're going to be in, bring in Charlie Camille with right now with Baseball Outside the Box, and we're going to talk to Charlie a little bit about his game today. And I want to let folks in the Chicagoland area know. I know the show goes all over the world, but Charlie's a Chicago kid, and down here in Cuba, he was playing in the outfield, pitched a couple times, and also played first base. But in the bases loaded, he got a great big hit that obviously brought in two runs to win the game today, a big victory for Team America. So first of all, let me welcome Charlie to the show. Charlie, how you doing, man?
I'm good.
Hi. Is good only good, or you might be even better, or what?
We're in Cuba.
You didn't get too excited about that game-winning hit, did you?
No, I got excited.
Did you?
Yeah.
Tell the audience a little bit about it. You know, the bases were loaded. You know, the Cubans obviously have a great, you know, they've got an advantage. They've been playing together for a while. They got a regional team. You know, we got players from all over, but, you know, never played together. And, you know, you come up with the bases loaded. You got some pretty good pitching against you. Obviously, you know, there's pressure, whether, you know, people like it or not. There's a lot of pressure because, you got to be thinking in your head, if I get a hit, we win. If I don't, we lose, even though it's not your fault. If we lose, what was going on through your head?
Well, they just walked the Cuban kid before me, so I was getting a little nervous. I thought he was going to get to hit. And then on the timeout, coach came up and talked to me, and he was like, Jason, you're scoring no matter what, because Jason was on second. So that kind of helped a little pressure on me. I was just thinking about a base hit or a ground ball in a hole. And, I mean, the first pitch came by me, and it was a fastball high, and he blew it right by me. It came right near my face. That's when I got a little more nervous, because I thought he was going to try and get me with something funky. And then he threw a fastball right down the middle, and I just waited for it, and I took it to center field.
Now, there had to be a little bit of, you know, hey, they walked them, you know, they walked that guy to get to me. I'm not real happy. I want to show him, you know, that I'm going to get a hit.
Yeah, I was thinking that through my head. I thought they thought that I was bad or something. And they wanted to get the guy on base and have a chance to get me out, and I was just trying to get a hit.
All right, that's Charlie Camille from York High School. And, Charlie, listen, tell us your experience a little bit about, you know, it's your first time in Cuba, first seeing the Cuban players. Give us a little idea what you thought about the Cuban players and, you know, what maybe even what you learned while you were here from some of the Cuban guys.
Yeah, well, being around the Cuban guys, they all take the game very seriously, and they're all well-dressed, and they're very polite. So I got picked up on that. They all hustle in and out. That's one thing that I learned. And overall, they're all good hitters, good pitchers, and they know how to play the game.
What was your game plan going on after you saw these guys hit a couple? And you pitched the first opening day here, you know, which is not easy coming off the, you know, cold weather and then coming in here, you know, facing a Cuban lineup that's pretty good. After that game and you pitched the second time, what was your game plan with the Cuban hitters?
For the more aggressive ones, I was trying to give them more off speed, try and get them low, make them chase all the off speed, and then maybe every once in a while throw by a fastball. But the first game, I was mainly throwing fastballs, see if they can catch up to it.
All right, finally, tell us a little bit about Havana. We've gone around to a lot of different places. Give the audience around the world a little taste of what Havana's like. Maybe what your expectation was and what the reality is when you got here.
I didn't really know what the expectation was. I knew that there were going to be a lot of old cars and old buildings. But then when I got here, I saw how colorful everything was, and it was just very interesting. There's a lot of history behind every building and every monument and statue.
Fantastic. Did a great job, man. That was Charlie Camille from, again, York High School. And we will now shift gears, and we're going to go on to another player. We've got several players here we want to interview. So we are going to go on to Jason Kuzabab from Loyola Academy. And by the way, as we're talking to Coach Percy, I think you got a little hint that Coach Percy, and I know a lot of people believe this around the world now because studies are starting to show it. You notice Coach Percy mentioned that multiple sport athletes are important because, you know, when you're young, if you're a multiple sport athlete, that's going to help your development in, as far as even being a baseball player, obviously, because it develops your athletic skills. Well, we're going to be talking, and most of the kid guys here, I call them kids because we're a lot older, but a lot of young men here, you know, they're multi-sport athletes, and that's why you can tell they're all very good players. So, and definitely Jason is a multi-sport athlete, but when we first saw him, you know, he's a big, strong athlete. He's, you know, he's very good. He's very confident. And, you know, when I first saw him, you know, and I asked him, I said, what position he said you play? And, you know, he said second base. And I thought, wow, this guy's big playing second base. But I guess if he's big enough, he can play anywhere he wants. Because, you know, I didn't want to tell him that he can't play second. So we allowed him to play second. But he's done a great job there. Jason, I just want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm excited to be in Cuba. Great weather, great games. Just love the game. Love the area.
Super. And for your Loyola Academy, we're talking to a scholar here, right? A 4.0, but I think higher than that. You know, that's way beyond me. I really don't comprehend that level. So, you know, it's kind of hard for me to even wonder where that's at. That's somewhere up there. But he sounds like an extremely bright young man and has a great future, obviously, not just in baseball, but in anything that he chooses to do. And I hope all our athletes around the world understand that when you're a real smart player, real smart in school, and you do real well in school, you can go a long ways in sports. But when you're not, it can take you in another direction. So tell us, Jason, about, first of all, your baseball experience here. You're, you know, kind of what you thought about Cuban baseball. Maybe you saw it on television, maybe you didn't. But tell us about, once you got here and played a few games, what you think about the Cuban players.
Well, it's cool. It's interesting to be here and see that even though you're in a different country, different language, don't speak the same language, and just the fact that everybody's still on the same page. You know, you get a strikeout and the catcher right away throws it down to third. You don't have to communicate that. You don't have to think about it. That's just what you do. And I think it's really cool how no matter what situation you're in or who's pitching, who's on base, they know the same thing that we know, even though there's no talk or no communication between us. And they know how to play the game right, and they know how to play it well. And I think it's reassuring that even if we know that something should be different, it's nice to know that we don't have to tell them because they can fix that themselves and they can correct it. And they can even help us and show us things that we don't really know.
Fantastic. And, you know, folks around the world, baseball coaches especially, you know, one of the things we do here is we love to mix our players. You know, we obviously borrowed players from, you know, the Cuban team, and that was a great experience for our young men. Matter of fact, tomorrow will be a day where we're actually going to split the two teams up and allow half of our team to go over to their dugout and play with those guys and half of their guys coming over to our dugout. You know, just a great learning experience, communication, you know, language, meeting guys, playing together. I mean, that was, you know, to us, it's a very valuable part of the program. And Jason, you know, we consider this an educational trip also, not just on a cultural aspect, but from a baseball aspect. Today, I think you learned a good lesson, but I think you knew the lesson in some ways. Coach Percy talked to you a little bit about it. It was your first at bat, and you did a great job. But tell us a little bit about first at bat and how they pitched you and what you did to overcome getting behind in the count.
Well, so the past few games, it's been mostly fastballs and then throwing a curve on a bit when I'm behind in the count. But the way that they did it today was they basically reverse pitch so that they had curveballs early, and I think it was two curveballs, and I swung at both of them. One was hung and came back in, and then one went back outside. And so I was down 0-2 early in the count, and then they threw a fastball up trying to get the swing, and I didn't go for that one. And then they threw another curve, and it bounced, another one, and it bounced in. And then it was a full count, and they tried to throw an outside heater, but it just wasn't there. So I let it go and got the walk off an 0-2 count, which was good. So it helped get on first.
All right, Jason, finally, let's talk a little bit about the people in Cuba. You know, again, 5 days hanging out with some players, seeing some, you know, adults going around town, walking around. Give us a little bit of, your experience here and what you thought about, you know, Havana especially.
Well, it's nice. It's really nice because you walk around and everybody you see is just smiling and they want to shake your hand. They want to meet you. They want to talk to you. And it's funny because, I mean, obviously you can walk around and they know where you're from. They know what country, and
everybody's just so nice. So we're back at home, you walk around and you smile and everything, and people like give you a couple like weird looks, like funny looks, like what's going on with you? You happy day? But here it's just, that's the atmosphere and that's the culture, and it's really nice to just be around it.
Fantastic. That is Jason Kuzuba from Loyola Academy. We want to thank him for being on the show. Now, we're going to be interviewing a few more players. Now, you know, we've got a full staff, so we can't put everybody, obviously, on the show. But we're going to interview a few more players and another young man that we're going to interview right now. And Yosef Baldwin from Hamilton Middle School from Madison, Wisconsin. Yes, folks, we got players from Illinois, Wisconsin, New York. We got players from all over the U.S., you know, this is a group of guys that just came together, didn't know each other. The coaches didn't know them. And, you know, what was great is because, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you get a lot of bonding going on after, three, 4 days together. You can just see them all come together. It's been a really great experience. I know for us, the coaches, we love seeing that because that's what teaching, coaching, and educating young men is all about, is getting the thrill of seeing them participate and get together and become friends and hopefully longtime friends and maybe even make some longtime friends here in Cuba. Let's hope that that happens also. We'll be able to communicate. See, these guys have been great ambassadors for the United States of America here in Havana, and the people here have really loved them. And they've actually had some players that actually had some people in Havana Square. We were there the other day. These guys all sit together outside. They talk baseball, and they met these guys, and all of a sudden they came to the game to watch them play today. So that was pretty cool for our players. So first of all, let me introduce Yosef. Yosef, welcome to Baseball Outside the Box. I know you're an avid listener of Baseball Outside the Box, and your dad's a big promoter of the show. I think I owe him a lot of money for the promotions he does. But I want to thank you and your dad for listening to the show. So welcome to the show, man.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. Now tell me why you're excited to be here. You know,
Since I got invited to this trip, I've been really excited to come, and I've learned a lot about Cuba and how it's such a diverse culture, and being able to be put in the atmosphere has been awesome.
All right, now tell the audience, they don't know this, and I think some of our players may not know this, or our parents that are in the audience right now. Tell us a little bit about you and your dad met some players. I'm gonna get away from the baseball part for a second as far as the instructional but you met some players. We were at some souvenir places, and you guys were coming out. You met players, and all of a sudden you decided to they invited you to play a game, kind of a stickball game, kind of a street game. Just go out and just play. Tell us about that experience a little bit.
So we met these players, and they came up to us and approached us really nicely, and they invited us to come play the street ball game. As you know, my dad really was into it, so he really helped. So we went and we got pizza first at a place nearby, and we went out to a park. We found a kind of small, t-ball field and started to play a street ball game, and it ended really well. And as we went through it, it got through the language barrier. So even though I don't really speak Spanish, I still kind of made a connection with those kids.
And give us your experience about the games. Tell us something, you know, something maybe you learned or something you saw that was interesting, something you can take back home as a player that you learned from the Cuban players, or even maybe from your own teammates. It doesn't have to be the Cubans. But anything you took out of here that, or from the coaches that you felt you can take back home and use to become a better person and a better player?
I saw how confident they were, and they kind of had their own swag that I would like to bring into the game. Like, they, on the benches, they had cheers going, and it was really cool. And in the field, it seemed like they were so nonchalant when getting the ground balls, and they would just turn these really smooth double plays. And it was just really cool. And I want to be able to take that back and put it into my play and hopefully get as far as they will do in their lives.
And just so you know, the team is comprised of 15, 14, 13-year-olds. I know in the U.S., you know, the traditional standard baseball teams are usually one age group. We feel it's unique sometimes to be able to bring some different age groups together like we used to do in the old days. These guys have done a great job. We've got some young men here who are 2 years younger that are playing with older guys who have really done a great job and, you know, have not been intimidated. But yet we've had the flip side of that. We've had some older players who have been like mentors to the young kids. I know I sit on the bench most of the – and actually I stand on the bench most of the day. I don't like to sit. But you know, and I listened to some of the veteran players talking to some of the younger players about something that could help them out that they saw on the field. And I thought that that was very interesting. So, Yosef, I want to thank you again for being on Baseball Outside the Box, and, you know, hope everything goes well for you and all your teammates.
Thank you so much.
All right, we're going to be coming back right now. First of all, we're going to bring Coach Percy back to the show before we bring in, you know, a few players. You know, now Coach Percy's on, he's texting right now all his fans in Colorado Springs, and he's telling them to listen to the show, Baseball Outside the Box. That's going to be up, coming up pretty soon. It's going to be exciting for everybody in Colorado Springs to listen to that. And I'm going to bring Coach Percy back because, Bill, listen, you've been here the 5 days. And one interesting thing is, if somebody was ever to, you know, do something like this, where they put a trip together, you know, of young men that have never played together, give some advice to the coaches out there. How do you handle it? Because you don't know any of them. You don't have any pickoff moves on. You can't, you know, there's no signs. You know, there's not many signs you can put on in a short period of time. You know, how do you build that up to kind of not give them too much information and overload them, but yet start them off somewhere?
Well, you know, first of all, it's pretty difficult, I think, when you're bringing a group of kids together. We did in Italy a few years ago where we typically meet the kids the day they arrive in that particular country, and we just go from there, and we'll maybe have a practice and so forth. It's a lot easier if you have a USA team, a national team, or whatever, where you're spending a week or two together and you're training before you get to your destination. But something like this is difficult, and I think, you know, you the mindset is basically you get your itinerary together and you tell the kids and the parents what you're going to be doing exactly, you know, in terms of training, games, and all of that, so they know ahead of time what they're looking at. And I think the main thing is going in that these kids understand that, you know, we're here, number one, to, you know, have a good time, and we're also here to, you know, play the game of baseball against different types of competition and hopefully learn from that. And I think if you go in with a mindset that, you know, I would like to try and learn something new every day, and I'd like to learn about new cultures, whether it's a baseball culture or it's just the culture of their country and so forth, and make friends along the way. And I think, you know, it's really not a matter of competition about winning or losing or what have you. Of course, we all love to win. We're all competitors. But at the same time, we're just there to grow. We're there to learn. We're there to be ambassadors for our sport, really.
All right, let's talk about the games now. Let's go with let's start with the Cubans, because we're going to talk about both teams. Let's talk about the Cubans a little bit. Some of the things you saw that maybe the Cuban players need to work on more, how they can work on it. You know, maybe because everybody has weaknesses, you know, whether it's a player or a coach, whoever it may be, and I think a lot of coaches can learn from this. What did you see that maybe that's something that is their weakness that they need to work on a little bit more, and how to work on it, what to do?
Well, you know, first of all, when you look at the players and their mannerisms and the way they play the game, I mean, they're all very natural, and they play the game with such passion and so forth. But, you know, some of the things I think the players learn from their coaches, and I think particularly in maybe the countries here, I don't know how much the Cuban coaches really, you know, interact. Obviously, they don't with American coaches and so forth. You know, perhaps they interact a little bit with the Dominicans, Venezuelans, I'm not sure. But we all grow. We all learn as we go through the process. We attend clinics back in the States, and we learn from one another. And maybe the Cuban coach could probably prosper a little bit from that by branching out a little bit. They play the game very well, obviously, and they know the game. But everybody is learning. We're always continuing to learn. And I think maybe they could do a little bit more of that.
Yeah, and I like to hear that because, you know, it is, the Baseball Outside the Box is an educational show to educate coaches. You know, and we've all got weaknesses. So it could be a weakness of the players. It could be a weakness of the coaches. Even take our club. I mean, every day you're talking constantly. I know I'm talking in the dugout. You're talking on the field. Then you're communicating to our players after the game. Let's go over for our coaches around the world at all levels. Let's go over some of the things you discussed with our players that they need to work on. You know, and I know, you know, you're very positive in the whole game. You could always tell you're always positive with the players. You're telling them what they're doing right a lot, but obviously they're not always doing something right all the time. So let's talk about some of the facets of the game one at a time and what they can improve on. And again, how to do that.
Well, you know, when you have players that really aren't your own, in other words, these are not my high school kids, they're not my college kids, I'm not a college coach, now I'm a high school coach, but they're not my kids, they're different types of kids. But at the same time, what we do is we approach the game with the attitude that, you know, this is you know, the type of game where it's a routine that you learn, that you understand, and the game really starts well before you start playing the game. The game starts in your mind when you arrive at the ballpark and so forth. And we talk about routines, we talk about thinking ahead, we talk about playing the game or situations over in your head before the pitch, and we also talk a lot about playing the game one pitch at a time. And really, when you have to, slowing the game down. I mean, there have been so many scholars out there, you know, that have written the books and so forth about playing the game in this manner and not worrying about what's happened, what's in the past, but what's ahead of you. And we really talk about that, and certainly now with kids, and kids can understand this. High school kids can understand this. Even kids that are younger than high school age can certainly understand that. And again, going back to trying to learn as we go. We just heard some fireworks, I think, but I think we're okay.
Absolutely. Hey, folks, this is Baseball Outside the Box. We are in Havana, Cuba. You just heard some banging going on. No, we're not being invaded. They are preparing for New Year's Eve here in Havana, and we are all being here this evening celebrating New Year's Eve. So those are just a couple pops you heard that they're preparing for the fireworks here. So we're back with Coach Percy. Don't forget to email us at, you know, info@baseballoutsidethebox. Check out our Twitter at @baseballout. And we're back with Coach Percy. Coach, let's continue what you were saying, and then we're going to get into another area.
Right. Yeah, we just want to let you guys all know that there will be no revolutions down here. The only revolution is going to be a baseball revolution where we're sharing the wealth all over. Just to finish, you know, it's a learning experience. It really is, and I want these kids to try and pick up something every day. You know, it's no different than life. It's no different from being in the classroom. This is a classroom. It's a baseball classroom for them, and I think these kids are picking up a lot of good stuff during the 6 days we've been together.
All right, now you were at the World Baseball Classic. You know, you had the Great Britain team, and you were coaching third base. I was there, you know, viewing, and you had some speed demons, you know, from the Bahamas on that team. So obviously, you had the fastest guys probably in baseball. Talk a little bit about the base running here. Some of the things that the players can improve, whether it be the Cuban or American players, on their base running.
Well, you know, I think really base running, we talk a lot about base running being an individual thing right now. I mean, we're out there, we're directing traffic, and we're helping. We can be offensive coordinators as third base coaches and so forth. But when the kids get on the base pass, I mean, we're always preaching aggressiveness, especially kids on second base with two outs. You know, we had that conversation, with Charlie and Jason when there was a timeout, and and they walked the Cuban kid here in the last inning today. And I basically told, you know, Jason at second base, we're scoring on any base hit, regardless. There's two outs. There's nothing to worry about. And, you know, I think Charlie actually eased up when he heard that. He said, well, you know, coach has got a little confidence in me, you know, and that's great. And everything just played out the way we would hope that it would play out, and it did. I love to see the aggressive base runners, but I also love to see the smart base runners, knowing the situation ahead of time, knowing what the situation is, listening to your base coaches when you need to, but also making decisions out there on the bases when it's their decision, when we want them to make a decision. For instance, yesterday, I had Jason tagging up at third base on a fly ball. I believe it was yesterday. And I'm kind of whispering in his ear, why don't you just bluff it? Well, I don't know what he was thinking, but he took off and on the tag. And the throw was fairly close to the plate, but he had great speed. He had a great slide at the plate, and he scored. So those are the kind of things I'm talking about, kids making decisions for themselves. This is a 15-year-old kid making a great decision when he's running the bases.
And, the more kids make decisions, you know, why is that good? You know, why shouldn't coaches make more decisions for them?
Well, you know, I think obviously as the kids grow up and they're younger and so forth, they're going to be listening to a lot to what their coaches are telling them, as they should. But as we get older, we get into the high school levels and certainly on into college and so forth, and even pro ball, you know, there's a lot more independence, a lot more freedom there. You know, the guys I had, the pro players we had in the classic qualifier with Great Britain, they were just a joy to coach because they knew how to play the game, and they were such God-given talent. I mean, their speed was unbelievable. I didn't have to do much with them. them, but they knew the game, and they were aggressive.
All right, on defense, it takes the whole defense to work, right? So some tips on, you know, what players can do defensively, preparing themselves for the hitter. You know, so that way the whole team's doing something where, so that way, you know, the chances of getting a ball, a fly ball or a ground ball, are increased. Give our audience, coaches around, a little idea and some tips.
Well, you know, first of all, and we talk about this a lot. I talk about it all the time with my players. They probably get tired of hearing it, but we talk about mentally rehearsing what you're going to do when the ball is hit to you. Outfielders is pretty simple, right, as far as what you're going to do. Infielders have a little bit more to think about on what they're doing, where they're positioning themselves for relays, where they're making the throw, and so forth. But another thing we like to see, and I didn't see it from these kids very much, obviously they're younger players, but we like to see our infielders get into a nice little it's like a light hop, what we call it, an anticipation step as they get ready to play the game. As you watch the big leaguers play on TV, you'll see this all the time. But that's what we'd like these young kids to start understanding because, you know, invariably when they play at this level and the game starts speeding up and that ball comes off the bat at whatever it is, 75, 80, 90 miles an hour and so forth, they have to get themselves in a good ready position early on. And that good light anticipation hop works. It always does.
All right, we heard many coaches and our good friend Jerry Weinstein, who you just talked about this morning, breakfast and at dinner, we were talking about him. You know, he emphasizes pitching, catching. That is the game. It has to start with that. Talk about, you know, especially in this situation, the communication between a pitcher and a catcher. Some of the things you saw that could have used improvement, how pitchers can work with catchers, you know, who's making the calls, how a catcher can help a pitcher, and, you know, and there's a lot of information, obviously, but give us an idea a little bit about the pitching catching aspect.
Well, you know, obviously at this level it's very different because, and it's difficult as well because these kids are so young and most of them aren't even in high school yet. But as they progress into their later years, as they progress into, say, a varsity level of high school baseball and on into college, you know, your catchers get into a point where they know how to handle pitchers, or they should know how to handle pitchers, you know, from a you know, maybe even a counseling standpoint. They may know what pitches to call. It depends on their coaches. Sometimes, you know, a lot of coaches like to call pitches, which is fine, okay. And sometimes the catchers will call, you know, themselves. But I think as they play the game, as they're paying attention during the game, and pitchers a lot of time can see weaknesses from hitters, so they get into a different the type of pattern where they're thinking one or two pitches ahead, how they want to pitch a particular player. There's that great 3 to 4 second period in between pitches where that pitcher is reassessing or refocusing every time. So, you know, it's a mind game. It's totally a mind game. But, of course, what the pitchers know is they have the baseball and they control everything. So, but obviously catchers are the guys that have got to keep those kids calm out there. Go out and talk to them every once in a while and just settle them down and be almost like a friend, a father-like figure at times.
I'm going to bounce back a minute to just, I guess, base running, be hitting and base running a little bit. I want coaches around the world to understand this. I've been in the game 38 years. I consider Coach Percy here a mentor. I've had Tom O'Connell, Dick Birmingham, a lot of guys that Bill knows. These are ABCA Hall of Famers, you know, and it's interesting. If you don't think you learn every day, then I think you're in the wrong business. You maybe need to find another business because I know the best of the best are constantly learning. And I want to give our coaches an example of what happened one game. You know, I was sitting, you know, where Bill and I talk all the time during the game. And, you know, and I said something about, you know, I really like hitters after they hit the ball to see the ball and make the decision, you know, if it's going to go through the infield or not. And Bill said to me, yeah, that's good, but there's certain places that you can't do that because you can't see the ball. So explain that because I think that's important. And on that basis, coaches around the world, I've made my determination when I went back to the hotel and thinking about it that now I can become better because of that information that I got because I think the information is better than what I had. And I think you need to understand that you need to have an open mind and continually learn from coaches all the time. So I hope you're all doing that around the world because that's going to make you a better coach and it's going to make the players better all the time. And when players realize that coaches can get better on a daily basis, then they realize they can get better on a daily basis because we're all human beings. So let's talk about that base running part after you hit the ball.
Well, you know, first of all, when a runner's on base, it's first, you know, first or second or whatever, you know, we always talk to the kids about reading two things, reading ball, reading defensive man, okay? But obviously when you're coming out of the box, the main point of emphasis is you've made contact, you're getting down the line, and you need to realize what you're going to do. You're either going a hard 90 through the bag or you're going a hard 90 with a turn. Of course, your first base coach can help you in that aspect. Particularly, I'm not a proponent of you know, you're going to see the ball off the bat. You're going to see if it gets through the 5-6 hole or wherever. Okay, you're not going to stare it down. You're just going to redirect towards first base. Basically, first base is the finish line. You're a sprinter. You're running that 30 meters or that 30-yard sprint if you're running a hard 90 and so forth. So, and you know, you're going to know what to do. And if you don't know what to do, that's where your first base coach comes in and helps you. A very important part of the game. I talk a lot about base coaching and what we can do as base coaches. And I believe our base coaches can help our runners in at certain times.
And you mentioned there's a key play, I believe, in the World Baseball Classic or the World Series. Excuse me, the ball hit down the third baseline. Talk about that because I think that's important.
Well, it was a play, and when I talk about base running, or base coaching, rather, I think it was a play in the 2012 World Series with San Francisco, and I can't remember who it was, but the giant batter runner hit a ball down the third baseline. He thought it was going to be a normal 5-3 putout, which it should have been, but the ball wasn't hit real hard, but it hit the third base bag and jumped over the fielder. I believe it was St. Louis, well, whoever, there couldn't have been St. Louis. I can't remember who they were playing in the series, probably 2012, but anyway, the ball skipped over the third baseman's head and went down the third base line. First base coach became very active, very animated, and so forth. Batter runner thought he was running hard through the line. All of a sudden, the first base coach became very animated, started porting towards second base and verbalizing. And next thing you know, that infield single or that 5-3 turned into a double. He wound up scoring, and I think they won the game by one or two runs that game.
And finally, we're going to have to bring you back to do a full show, but finally, you talk a lot about on the field with the players and also myself that there's three elements of the game, and if you could win two out of three of these elements, you know, you most successfully win that game possibly. Talk about the elements, but talk about, you know, why two or three are so important to win, to win two out of three.
Well, I think, first of all, you know, if you're talking on the high school and college level, you know, obviously you're talking about the three phases of baseball, pitching, hitting, and defense. And, you know, we all like to think as coaches, if we can master two of those three areas, your chances of winning the game are fairly strong, okay? If you're, let's just say you're getting good pitching, you're not swinging the bats, and you've made some poor defensive plays, your chances of winning are very, very slim. Even sometimes when you go and you win two out of three, you may not win that game because you've had one bad inning, and we have had our share of bad innings down here. That's happened. But, you know, on the major league level, on a professional level, maybe that's not exactly the case, but I think anybody will tell you good pitching will win at any time, okay, anywhere. But you still have to be able to score the runs, and you still have to be able to make the plays. You know, that's the bottom line, especially at our younger levels. You're talking about, let's say, 14, 18-year-old kids, or even on into college. You have to be able to make the plays defensively, the routine plays.
Outstanding. That was my good friend, longtime friend and mentor, Bill Percy. And currently, you know, he's the head coach right now of our Team America competing in Havana, Cuba, and also the ABCA Hall of Famer, along with the third base coach with a Great Britain team. And Bill, got to thank you. This has been a great pleasure, not only being able to be, next to you coaching and really learning a lot while I've been down here. And I love to be able to, you know, we're able to challenge each other, not challenge, but discuss things, you know, and learn from, I learned a lot from you just in the 5 days. So thanks for being on Baseball Outside the Box. Look forward to being with in the game tomorrow and our trip back home the next day.
Okay, it's been my pleasure, Pete, and of course we'll remain friends for a long, long time, and it'll be great to see you next week at the ABCA convention.
Absolutely. Don't forget, ABCA convention next week in Indianapolis. I think it's Coach Percy's 55th. I'm not sure how many times he's been there. I know it's my 35th. And don't forget, that's a great place to learn. And we're going to do a rapid fire to end the show, a rapid fire question, because these young men, three of them, been standing here for a while waiting throughout the whole show. I did promise them at the beginning of the show they'd be on. I got a little winded because Coach Percy was talking about some great stuff that from the development standpoint. So I'm going to go down the line here right now. And first of all, I'm going to introduce Jack Callahan from Jack is from New Rochelle High School in New York. Jack, welcome to Baseball Outside the Box.
Thank you for having me.
All right, then we got Eric Mitchell from St. Charles East, a rival of a good friend of mine, Terry Ayers, at St. Charles North. You know, they're both great baseball programs, and that's in the Chicagoland area also. So I want to welcome Eric to the show. How you doing?
Doing good.
All right, is it just good or very good?
Very good.
That's all right. When somebody asks you how you're doing, I always say very good, unless you're not feeling good. That's different. Now, then I want to introduce to you Sean Holler from Thompson Middle School in St. Charles, right? Now, that I said Holler, it's Holler, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, hey, don't be afraid to correct me. Just because I'm the host of the show, you can still correct me. That's your name. We don't want you to make sure, you know, that the audience understands your name. So give everybody how it's pronounced.
Sean Holler.
All right, Sean Holler it is. All right, guys, quickly. I'm going to go right at you, and I'll say, Sean, I'll start with you. Give us a little experience of Havana and the baseball here. What did you think about the players and all that?
The players here were just outstanding and amazing. I thought they were excellent. You know, since it's really warm and humid here, they get to practice all year round, and I think they just get a lot more experience in everything than us, but we can still compete with them, I think.
Fantastic. Oh, you definitely compete with them. You guys did an awesome job the 5 days you were here. Eric, what'd you pick up from maybe some of the Cuban players, or if it wasn't the Cuban players, maybe some of your own teammates?
Not really sure. Like, a lot of them, they were good. They're all pretty fast. They're all, like, fast players, and, like, they knew how to, like, play the game really well, and they kind of, like, knew what they were doing, and they kind of communicated and hustled everywhere.
Did you have fun playing against them?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. It was a good time.
Fantastic. And Sean, or Jack, sorry. Jack, tell me about, you know, your experience here. You know, and it could be anything. You want to pick the baseball part. You want to pick the, you know, something about the, you know, your tours around Havana. Anything you like. Tell us a little bit about what your experience was like.
Yeah, the Cuban baseball players, their hustle really impressed me because everywhere they went, they hustled on and off the field.
All right, last thing. Down the line, one thing, and I want to put the pressure on you, but one thing that you learned while you were here, whether it be from the Cubans, whether it be Cuban coaches, our coaches, anything you picked up that maybe you didn't know about the game, we'll do that little clock, that thinking clock will go ding, 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 ding. You know, that gives you a chance to think. You know, while I'm going ding, 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 you guys think. What's the one thing that will... you might have picked up that hopefully can make you a better player. And it can be the same thing for all three. It doesn't matter. But think about something that made you a better player while you were here.
I think it was communication, because it was definitely hard to try and communicate with some of these players because they didn't speak English. So we had to try our best and try and communicate with them, and that's what tried to make us a better team.
All right, Eric?
Stretching was like a big part. Like, you did it for like a little while before the game, and like doing different stretches for like 15, 10, 20 seconds for each one, and kind of like doing different kinds. Like, yeah.
This was like a batting order. The toughest pressure on number one here, number two had the second pressure, and you had a chance to think about it, but you're going to get the toughest pitches. So what is your thought about something you learned? And that, by the way, I'm saying that's Jack Callahan who I'm talking to.
I would say communication between our team, because we only met for the first week and we had to go out there and play together against a really good competition. So it was really hard.
And I know what, I'll give you one more since you're the third hitter. What's what was something you had to do to be able to communicate?
We had to call each other off for baseballs, and it took practice between innings and getting to know each other.
Fantastic, guys. You did a great job. A lot of pressure just came on the show. You didn't know what I was going to ask. That's something that just gives you an idea about our players. They're pretty sharp kids. It's not easy to get a question on the show and be able to answer it that fast. So thanks for being on the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys, it could be a choir. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That is the show, folks. This is Pete Caliendo from Havana, Cuba. We are Baseball Outside the Box, the show. Hey, don't forget, before I end with the show, check out our Facebook. We got so much great information for you on Facebook. A lot, especially for you coaches. There's all kinds of videos, tips. We got great coaches around the world that send us tips. We place that on Twitter. Our Twitter is at Baseball Outside the Box. We've got Facebook. Check out Facebook. Check out our website, baseballoutsidethebox.com. Do us a favor. Join the show. If you're a new listener, join the show. You'll get updates all the time. We love to, you know, make sure that you're on the show, and hopefully you're learning a lot. Don't forget, current listeners, give us a rating on iTunes. If the more ratings we get, if you really love the show. If you don't love the show, don't give us a rating. But if you love the show, give us a rating, and that show will get out even more. We are worldwide with the show, and we just want to get, you know, more coaches and players and parents listening to the show that interviews you, the best coaching minds in the world who love the challenge, the status quo. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. I want to wish you a happy 2018. We're here in Havana, Cuba. It is a quarter to midnight. We're getting ready to celebrate with some champagne. No, that's not champagne for the players. That's just champagne for the parents. The players will have some kind of synthetic champagne or some special stuff that we brought in. So we want to wish all our listeners around the world, thank you for a great year. God bless you. Have a great 2018. Again, I'm your host, Pete Caliendo, Baseball Outside the Box. We will see you in the next year.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.